Script 1. Aiden meets Cass for the first time. Aiden heard her question, but said nothing. The woman studied him for a beat, waiting patiently for a response. But when none came, she realized he was stunned into silence.
"Oh, I get it," she said. "You don't get many visitors around here, do you?"
Aiden took in a breath and mustered the courage to offer a short reply.
He said, "I've never had a visitor, ever."
"Oh, well, I'm your first one then. Look at you! Hi, hello, salutations, I'm Cassiopeia. It's a pretty name, huh? My mama picked it because of the constellation in the north sky, but all my friends call me Cass. You look friendly. You can call me Cass, too. Pretty much everyone does, except this girl back home, Kelly Baker, who thinks I stole her boyfriend from her like 10 years ago, even though I really didn't, and it was just a rumor that went around the village for a while. But she's still really, really mad about it and won't get over it. Probably forever, but oh well, not my problem, is it? What about you? You got a name?"
Aiden had been squinting hard through Cass's screed, desperately trying to decipher her words and discern her intentions. Her accent was thick, unlike any he had ever heard on the grid. And she talked fast, very fast. He only understood about half of the words she spoke. So, instead of answering her, he remained silent. Cass wasn't fazed by Aiden's befuddlement. She leaned in and held her right hand out before his chest.
"Your name, silly," she said with blunt volume. "What's your name?"
Script 2. Aiden examines the valley and his philosophical internal thoughts. Aiden watched Cass leap through the trees to resume the trek. Then, heeding her advice, he turned to gaze out upon the valley once more. He knew Cass was right about one thing. Each little pod housed someone like him. Right now, in each little pod, quests were being won, alliances were being forged, and kingdoms were being constructed. But none of that was happening in the real world. It was all taking place online, on the grid. Aiden ran his eyes along the horizon where the peak met the sky. The pods were dwarfed by the mountains beyond them. The contrast made them appear impossibly small, insignificant.
"Is my life insignificant too? Is this really just a valley of delusional narcissists? Mere blips on the grid? Sparks pretending to be stars? Perhaps the fault truly is in our stars, Cass."
"Come on, Aiden," Cass yelled from the path. "Let's go. Your vivarium will be there when you get back. Keep moving forward. We're getting closer to the end now."
Script 3. Iris conveys information to Aiden. Iris flashed Aiden a half-moon grin. Then, an oversized tub of popcorn materialized in her hands, and an unusual pair of glasses materialized on her nose.
"Ready to watch," she said, tossing a holographic kernel into her mouth.
"Why are you wearing those funny glasses?" Aiden asked her.
"They're anaglyph glasses, Aiden. In the olden days, people would wear them to watch 3D movies."
"What? Why? What's an anaglyph?"
Iris stopped chewing her popcorn. Then her avatar glitched as she assumed her speedy voice.
"An anaglyph is a stereoscopic 3D image created by superimposing two offset images of differing colors. When viewed through filtered lenses, the brain combines the images together, creating the illusion of depth and resulting in a three-dimensional experience. Anaglyph 3D was a popular method for presenting movies in..."
Okay, I got it. That's interesting, though. I didn't know the ancients used such glasses, but why are you wearing them now?"
"They're purely decorative, Aiden, but they look so cool. I like them, don't you?"
Scene 4. Cass explains the machines to Aiden.
"Look," Cass began, "I know you were conceived, cultivated, and cared for by the machines,
so it's easy for you to presume that they want what's best for you. It's natural for you to deem them moral and wise. But Aiden, the machines don't have wise thoughts. They can't. They aren't capable of wisdom at all. Their intelligence is the result of a complex language model. They're merely the sum of all human knowledge. Each quip they utter is not a reflection of their wisdom. It's a reflection of ours. It's a reflection of us. The machines just regurgitate our words and spit them back at us, wrapped up in a shiny package that tricks us into believing that their noises are novel and profound. But they're not, Aiden. They're not thinkers. They're performers.